This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Well, it's the holiday season. Families get together, a great time to take pictures, create memories for generations to come. My challenge always, how do you take good photographs? That's where I run into trouble. Our next guest will teach us how to take pictures of what a moment feels like instead of what it looks like. George Lang joins us. He's the author of the new book, The Unforgettable Photograph, 228 Ideas, Tips, and Secrets for Taking the Best Pictures of Your Life. George, thanks for joining us.
Hi, Rob. How are you?
I'm doing really well. How are you on this holiday weekend?
Really happy. Really happy.
Great. Well, I just mentioned this idea of taking a picture of what a moment feels like. How do you do that?
One of the ways that I explain it is almost comparing it to a kiss. When you kiss someone, generally your eyes are closed. You're so close, and you open up all your other senses. You're hearing things, you're feeling things, you're tasting things. And my feeling is that you should use all of your senses when you're taking a picture, not just your eyes. And many people now are going around and taking pictures of their desserts. And my challenge is to take pictures of what your desserts taste like, not only what they look like.
I think that's part of my problem. I try to get people posed and standing just right, or really, I'm just looking, and that's it. How do I shake that mindset before we even get into practical tips? How do we fix our brains to think this way?
Well, in the many ways, the least interesting picture is the posed picture looking in the camera. Almost everything that happens before that moment and after that moment are more interesting and more revealing. And really what happens is we're all sharing our pictures every day now, and most of the pictures aren't that interesting, but all my friends are really interesting, and all the people that whose pictures I look at are really interesting. And I just feel like there are so many pictures that we aren't taking that we are experiencing. So if we can dip a little bit more into photographing our experiences and the whole story of the experience, like a lot of us are in the middle of a big Thanksgiving Day weekend, and there's a whole story unfolding of people getting packed and traveling and picking them up at the airport and creating these feasts and eating the feasts and, you know, everyone passing out afterwards. All along the way, those are really interesting pictures. And we try and often take pictures that are fake, you know, stand here and smile, rather than all the amazing things going on around that. Even when people are a little less happy, some of those pictures are more revealing, or just so many things going on every day.
One of the tips that you give that I love is don't wait for the smile. Don't make people smile. I hate smiling for pictures, and I'm terrible at it. I can't get my kids to do it.
Right.
Why please convince everyone else around me that we don't need the smile?
Well, the smile, especially when you're doing a posed picture, is just almost the most artificial thing you can have someone do. So you're going to wind up with the most artificial picture. But my kids even, and they've been photographed. I have a 3- and a 6-year-old boy. They've been photographed every single day of their life.
Wow.
And still, when I pick up the camera, they'll go cheese. And then, you know, once that moment's over, which is not what I'm interested in, then we get back to doing what we were doing or being who we are. I mean, just this morning, my kids were watching TV at one point, and my wife said, "Look at them." And they were both in these just beautiful positions on this chair, and they weren't going to pay any attention to me. So I could do whatever I wanted with them. And it was just, they were backlit. It was just this beautiful moment. It's the moment that most people never pick up the camera. There's a picture that I took of the beach a couple summers ago of two sisters plucking each other's eyebrows on the porch. You would never pick up the camera to take that. Or they were painting their toenails on the autobiography of Malcolm X, which they were reading for school. And I just photographed their toenails on the book. There are just so many things going on every day. Even before we have breakfast, you know, all the things that are coming together throughout the year. One of the other tips that I talk about a lot is throughout the year, the light changes in our house. And there are certain pockets of light that are just beautiful on the third floor, in the den. And for a couple of weeks or months, the light comes and goes. And if you just pay attention to that light, those are sweet pockets of places to take pictures.
One of your most basic pieces of advice that I think I'll take to heart is that we don't take enough pictures. We line up the shot, we take one, maybe another one for insurance. That's not enough, right?
That kind of depends. I think that a lot of people are actually starting to photograph so much during the experience that they're missing the experience.
Wow.
I feel like, you know, there are lots of times to take pictures, but our life shouldn't be spent only taking pictures. The pictures are artifacts and documents of our lives. There are personal histories. What happened like 3 or 4 years ago is we went from being event photographers. We had our cameras and we would shoot birthdays and vacations and maybe the holidays. And then we got our smartphones and all of our point and shoots became really reasonable. And we started photographing every day and sharing those pictures. But what did that really mean? It was the transition between having a couple pictures a year or maybe even a couple hundred to having thousands. And within that group of pictures that we can now take, we can really create something very special, both for ourselves and to leave for our future generations.
Are you glad to see this digital photography come along and the phones and the cheaper cameras? And is it kind of liberating to be able to take a lot of pictures and not worry about how much the film is going to cost to develop?
Exactly, exactly. I mean, what's so funny is I came up and went to school and started my career in the analog age with film, and I couldn't wait for digital to come along, even though it hadn't been invented yet. And when it came along, I was a very early adapter, and I just find digital photography really freeing, and especially now the cameras need almost no light to shoot. If you can see something, you can photograph it with almost any device now. And that's incredibly liberating. Like pictures that you think, oh, it's too dark, it's no longer too dark. In fact, there's more light there for the camera than even your eye can see.
We're talking to George Lang. His new book is The Unforgettable Photograph, 228 Ideas, Tips, and Secrets for Taking the Best Pictures of Your Life. Coming up, we're going to get into ideas of composition and light, maybe talk equipment a little bit, and we want to hear from you. Do you have questions about how to take a better picture, maybe of your family, maybe this weekend? Or do you have a photography tip you'd like to share? Can you tell us about the best picture you've ever taken in your life and what makes it so good? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Veronica Rickert will be back with me on Monday. We continue our conversation now with George Lang. He's a photographer. His new book is The Unforgettable Photograph, 228 Ideas, Tips, and Secrets for Taking the Best Pictures of Your Life. Taking your calls at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. If you have a question about a kind of picture you need help taking, or you want to tell us about the best picture you have ever taken, 800-642-1234 is the number to call. We've got Anthony with us in Watertown. Anthony, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks for having me. George, thank you for taking your time to help us.
My pleasure.
One of the things that I've done since the digital camera came out makes it, obviously, like you said, a million times easier for an amateur person like myself to try and take that one photo that we think is, you know, worth taking. One of the things I put on my bucket list was to take 5 or 10 amazing photos. And when I did that, like I said, I'm an amateur. I have no idea about nothing. And I once read an article somewhere that said try to include a third is like the main object and use that as the center, or not center, but the left or the right or the up or the down, but go with a third of the photo that way. And I took a picture from underneath in San Francisco, from underneath the bridge, the San Francisco Bridge, and it's one of the photos that people have always gone, did you take that? And I beam a little bit with pride when I go, yes, it doesn't look like I could do that, you know? So is, other than that, like, third thing, and one, is that true? Because it seems like some of my pictures have been a lot better since I've taken that notion. And if that is true, is there any other, that one little nugget that will really help me be able to be a better photographer on the shoot?
Thanks for the call, Anthony, and congratulations on that great shot. What do you think, George?
Well, one of the things that he did that was great is he walked underneath the bridge to take the picture rather than straight on. I think whenever you keep moving when you're taking a picture, lots of times we get in one place and our feet are like lead and we never move. And I when I take pictures, try and swoop all around the scene. I'll go behind the people, above them, underneath them. I will have the light really good, and then I'll go to a place where even the light might be playing against all the rules. And I'm just, like, looking and moving through a scene to find the best picture. So, I mean, one of the best tips I can give is to keep moving. If you can shoot, when you shoot down on something, it's almost always interesting. I'll go back to a picture that I took years ago, and I was having to do a story for House and Garden on people that live in hotel rooms for long periods of time, and it was Carol Channing in Chicago. And I come into her suite, and she's all made up, and she said, I'm going to lie on the ground, and I want you to shoot down on me because that's how my face looks best. And it was crazy, but, like, looking down on a lot of things really really gives you an angle that's always interesting. So looking up on the bridge was a great idea. Looking down on different things is great. And then looking all around.
You've got a lot of pictures, not surprisingly, in your book, at George. And you've got a lot of great examples of this. Taking a picture of a kid jumping on a trampoline and you were lying down, it looks like, underneath the trampoline. It's a great action shot.
And a very dangerous one to shoot. When they jump too close, it gets very close to your lens. You have to be really careful. But one of the things that's interesting with most of the trampolines is that when you look at them, it looks like the surface is opaque. But when you get underneath it, you can see through, and it's a great angle to shoot. But be really careful.
Don't try this at home, necessarily. We'll go back to the phones now. We have Tom with us in Prairie du Chien. Tom, hi.
Hi. We have a friend who's from Japan, and I took him around the area a few years ago, and everywhere we went, he would take numerous photographs and then walk away. And I asked him about it, and he said he was going to look at them later and enjoy the experience. And I wonder your guest's thoughts on the framing the photography versus enjoying the emotion of the moment.
Ah, interesting. Thanks a lot for the call, Tom.
That is so important. I feel like so many places that I go now, especially if you go to concerts, people are taking pictures the whole time and texting them and sharing them all through the show, which is not only annoying to the people around you, you're missing the whole experience. And my feeling is with so many things that we do, like take your pictures and take them quickly and put away your phone or put away your camera and look at them later, two things will happen. One is the pictures that you share, you'll have time to pick out the best ones rather than whatever's the first picture that comes up, and you'll be sharing better pictures. And the second is that you'll enjoy the experience and have the human experience of the music or the sports event or whatever you're doing.
All right, let's get to some more of the practical suggestions, George. You've got a whole chapter on playing with the use of light. Can you give us a couple ideas on how to use light maybe in exciting ways to get a different kind of picture?
There are really no rules for the way that you should use light. It's just really appreciating the light. A lot of the tips in the book are about appreciating things around you. You are the people around you, the experience that you're having every day, even mundane things like cooking. You know, we're all cooking every day, and there are interesting parts of that that are just that capture things that are going on. With light, what you want to do, though, is I shoot almost all available light, but I'll use everything from flashlights, you know, that are around the house, you know, non-professional equipment. I never use the flash on my camera. If I'm doing a job, I might do big strobe lights, but I never use an on-camera flash. I just think it's the least flattering and least interesting that you can use. But if you have lamps that are on, if you have light bouncing around your house and just kind of appreciate it. Sometimes you'll go in the street, certainly in a big city, and the light's bouncing off windows onto the street, making these very abstract patterns that are just beautiful to shoot with.
Well, it seems like part of the goal is not so much creating the right light as having an eye for an interesting light that is already there.
Exactly, exactly.
All right. Well, a lot of people may be wondering about equipment. Do they need to get fancy stuff? Can you give us a quick cardinal rule for maybe a lower budget photographer who just wants a camera they could take some decent pictures with?
Right. All the cameras on the market today are incredible. I mean, even compared to 5 years ago, the cheapest camera on the market can blow away anything that's been around. So it's really kind of getting in your comfort zone of how much you want to be adjusting it, how much if you want interchangeable lenses. The cameras on our phone are really remarkable, and you can take fantastic pictures with those. Or if you want to step up and get into some of the interchangeable lenses and the bigger cameras, that's great too. I feel that all the tips in the book can also help you take great mental pictures.
Hmm.
I love the idea that we're like seeing things, and if we have a camera and can take it, it's great. But the idea of appreciating the light and appreciating the moment is 3/4 of the way there to getting a great photograph.
I love that. So think like a photographer, even if there's not a camera in sight, in a way.
Exactly.
All right. Well, and one of the things I love about the book is, you know, I take pictures and they're on my computer and I'm done with them then, I guess. But you have a lot of fun ideas on what to do with the pictures and how to display them. Could you share a few of those?
Those are mostly from my wife, Stephanie, who's an artist and is just really resourceful. Most of the ideas in the book are things that she found at antique stores or people would throw out. Everything from using clothespins and making lines of pictures going around to framing pictures and putting them in odd places of the house. The last house that we were in had a very tall stairway, and up at the very top, she put two frame pictures of people diving off a diving board. So so when you saw it from the third floor or up from the bottom, you would see that. You can do a lot of things for almost no money displaying the pictures and sharing them now too.
And there's one, I can't find it right now, but there's one where I think maybe it was your wife found a cute looking box maybe at a thrift store, and just having, I'm not a big fan of having tchotchkes around the house, but this one I might do, having a little box with a handful of photos in it, and it's sitting there, and if somebody could, you know, sort through them and put them back when they're done. That's a great way to display them.
It's so much fun. I mean, that was just an old box that she found, and you can either print them on your computer printer because they're so little that the quality is going to be fine, or all of the print services online. The prints are now like under a dime a piece. You know, it's just so reasonable, and especially our kids just love looking at the pictures of them as real pictures, not just scrolling on your, I mean, they love looking at our phones and looking on the computer, but to have the actual pictures and be able to spread them out and not to treat them too precious, but, you know, have this box that they can play with is really fun.
One last question, one last bit of advice I want to get into is, you know, we're talking about taking non-posed pictures in some cases, capturing moments. My problem is I have a lot of pictures of moments where the person's, you know, halfway out of the frame or on the soccer field. My kids, I might get their ankle if I'm lucky. How do you get those candid moments where people are moving around and yet still get a meaningful picture of somebody?
Well, two things there. One is there's a certain rhythm to all of our lives. There's a certain rhythm to the way that we get up and the way that we get ready and the way that we walk down the street or hike or bicycle or whatever we do. And if you get into that rhythm and appreciate that rhythm and feel that rhythm, you can oftentimes photograph at that same rhythm too. If you're walking with someone and you're walking at the same pace, the photograph that you take will not be of that awkward moment where someone's kind of in between a step because you're both in step. So if you can coordinate that, that works out great. And the other thing is, when you when you crop a picture, it's okay if it's not perfectly cropped. Like this idea that the perfect crop is the person right in the middle of the frame. Mm. There's a picture in the book of one of my sons crying. And, you know, I don't think we should pick up the camera every time our children cry, however, or each other. Those pictures are really powerful. And the picture that I took is cropped very tightly and very odd, but it feels more dynamic. So sometimes when you're photographing different things, that being out of the frame or their head cut off or just showing parts of their body is actually a more powerful photograph than getting the whole thing.
All right,
and
George.
If you are photographing your son at soccer, you have to take a lot of pictures.
That's true. George, thanks so much for joining us today. It's been a lot of fun.
Thank you.
That's George Lang, his new book, The Unforgettable Photograph, 228 Ideas, Tips, and Secrets for Taking the Best Pictures of Your Life.